This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody,
he was admitting that he had met with this Russian lawyer for the purpose of receiving information against Hillary Clinton. I thought, my God, this kid was dropped on his head as a child. Could he possibly be admitting this?
How stupid of Don Jr. I mean, I guess it runs in the family to go on Twitter when he is clearly in legal jeopardy.
This can't be dismissed as people out to get Donald J. Trump Jr. or fake news. This is evidence of willingness to commit collusion.
I think this is such an extraordinary moment in American history. It's why I reached back to Arthur Miller's The Crucible, which is a play about the Salem witchcraft trials. I mean, I have the level of mass behavior that is psychological that we're seeing both with the Democrats and with the news media is astonishing. And let me say up front, by the way, I think a serious, in-depth congressional investigation
of all these foreign efforts
to influence the U.S. would be good. I'm absolutely mystified why the Republicans are so timid, so lacking in just, frankly, common sense.
Courage?
I mean, I can't explain either the House or Senate committees. I don't think it's courage. I think it's sleepwalking. I think they have allowed the media to define for them what they are supposed to be doing, as opposed to what you've just pointed out, which is, let's talk about foreign collusion. How about the fact you have this article that says very clearly, and I think this is a test every American could give their congressman and their senator. If you have an article that says very clearly that the Democratic National Committee had a paid operative in Ukraine trying to dig up dirt with the help of the Ukrainian government, shouldn't that be investigated? And again, I would say about Bob Mueller's operation, somebody ought to ask him, if you think a one-time 20-minute meeting that was mostly about adoption is worth investigating, are you going to investigate somebody who travels all the way to Kiev to dig up dirt with the help of a foreign government?
Well, maybe the Clinton and Obama donors he hired, or maybe Hillary Clinton's attorney that he hired to work in his special counsel, maybe they'll do it. So I don't have that much confidence in Mueller. You know, but it's even worse than that when we come to real issues.
Hold on. Let's be optimists, John. Let's see if Mueller could hire one Republican.
Oh,
I mean, this would be a great test. Can he hire one Republican who is for Trump?
That's a big question. But I think what Newt, his point was made, I think, more clearly at the start of this statement. And that is that the Republicans need to get together. And this is something that I can give credit for the Democrats. And that is they have a party stance. There's a party line. Boy, they'll just drum that thing over and over again. The media come in and ask questions, and they are driving it. As much as Donald Trump drives the headlines with his tweets, the Republicans are not getting how to get on the same page. You know, it's like they've got the disease of processing. For those of you that have done any kind of studying in Myers-Briggs, you get the people that love to process. They just love to talk about it. They love to, you know, they'll have meetings to set up meetings because that's what they like to do. As opposed to saying, okay, here's the conclusion and, let's call the point to question here. But the Republicans need, if they need discipline. They need message discipline. And what they need to do is be able to come around their standard bearer and protect him and watch his six. But as Liz Peek said earlier, you know, you get Republicans whose feelings are hurt, you know, Lindsey Graham and John McCain, because the way they were treated in the last election or the way they perceive themselves and how they got their hat handed to them by one Donald Trump. And so some of them are still bitter, but it's like, get over it. You know, he is the president. He is your standard bearer. And if you have any hope of maintaining any leadership position in the House and the Senate, much less a re-election in the White House, what do you want? Would you much rather have Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton? What would the country look like right now if Hillary Clinton was in the Oval Office. I shudder to think of those possibilities. But yet, we have somebody who is championing the cause and the good reasons of jobs and productivity and the economy and health care, and we're putting a stick in his spokes.
Will the government protect your family from Iran and North Korea's newest weapon, EMP? We buy guns to protect ourselves, home, health, and car insurance for accidents. Maybe you also have food storage. But how would you keep your refrigerator running in a long-term EMP blackout? Using tested military designs, the Solark EMP-hardened solar generator protects and powers your critical appliances for years without burying items underground or wrapping them in aluminum foil. Unlike other preps, Solark is used every day to help offset your electric bill automatically. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to learn how easily expandable the system is. Solark is the most affordable and powerful solution on the market. The whole system even fits in the back of a pickup or SUV and can install in less than an hour. See for yourself why Solark beats other off-grid systems at PortableSolarLLC.com. Don't wait for the government. Go to PortableSolarLLC.com to learn why Solark is energy insurance for your family.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
That is the mission, and we are committed to that and pursuing the truth no matter where it leads. A lot of innuendo out there, as you can tell in our conversation with John Whitehead with the Rutherford Institute. In the absence of fact, opinion rules, and the media, I don't know, they're having a heyday. They love this idea of letting the facts kind of be loose and keeping us, kind of in the dark. You know, we're just all, I guess, a bunch of human mushrooms here. But you know what we have to do. You've got to get educated, and you've got to activate. 6 minutes after the top of the hour, I am Bill Martinez. Roger Reams joins us right now. Roger has an interesting background. What I was reading about him was a chance encounter while he was a freshman at Vanderbilt University that led Roger Reen to meet TFAS founder and then chairman David Jones. David encouraged Roger to attend a TFAS Summer Institute in 76, and the rest, as they say, is history. Roger thinks he has the best job in the world working with young people who want to make a difference in the world. He says it keeps him young, which may be true since he joined TFAS. They say 1891. I know that that's got to be a typo. Wait a minute, make that 1991. So we read right through the typos. Roger Reem, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Hey, it's a pleasure to be with you. I'm doing fine, thank you.
Hey, good to have you here to talk about the Fund for American Studies. Educate our audience what TFAS is all about.
We run programs to try to educate young people who want to go into journalism and into public policy and politics about our founding principles and about our free enterprise system so that when they become leaders, they will understand what leads to human prosperity and flourishing in our society.
Yeah, there is connectivity there, isn't there? And when you especially when you talk about journalism today, it seems that the principles, the basic principles of journalism, are being challenged like seemingly no other time in our history, I would think.
Oh, that's very true, and we're pleased that many of our graduates are now in prominent positions in the media. Most of the conservative media employ graduates of our program and major newspapers, and I think they're better reporters for having done our program, and they understand mm-hmm. economics, and they understand the proper role of our media and our Constitution. And I think the thing that's very worrisome today is what we see on college campuses, where we see attempts to the rock in our society.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this is the challenge that's there. I mean, you always have a pushback, but Roger, as you know, this is what's so important for these kids having the training in the background is, you know, knowing what it is that you believe. And I think that's the question today, whether it is in journalism or any kind of walk of life, faith, what you believe about the government. You've got to know what you believe. Otherwise, you're going to get caught up in this, you know, cultural momentum that's out there that somehow, I mean, I don't know, from my perspective, seems a bit unhinged. And, you know, like one group of people that has been, you know, they're anti-capitalist, and they've finally been able to say, we just don't believe in capitalism. Okay, well, that's fine that you don't believe in it, but, you know, I do, and, you know, we have a long history and with empirical evidence that supports capitalism. But, you know, you have the right to, to your feelings, and to your, to whatever it is that you want to say, against capitalism. But what do you want to replace it with? Well, there's no idea. They're just against capitalism.
I think the problem is if you're a socialist who doesn't believe in capitalism, what you don't understand is that means you also don't care about poor people.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, socialists tend to claim that what they're doing is for the benefit of poor people. And instead, it's poor people who suffer the most in socialist societies.
Mm.
I like to tell our students, we have an experiment underway right now on planet Earth. We took a piece of pretty big piece of land, we divided it in half, and we said, all right, on this half we'll have socialist, communist country, and on the other, where everyone will be equal, on the other half we'll have capitalism and relative freedom. We call it the Korean Peninsula.
Yes.
And
yeah.
What we see was has happened in Korea over that 70-year history of that experiment. People in South Korea are on average 5 inches taller in height. They're healthier. They're have more opportunity, more material prosperity, better culture, better sports. You name it. It's a better life in the side that was free.
Mm.
And it's a slow path to socialism and communism in the world, and people don't always recognize what's happening in our country. We're either moving toward more freedom or away from freedom.
Mm-hmm.
We're either on the path to Venezuela, or we reverse ourselves and get on a path toward more freedom and more prosperity and a better life for all.
Exactly. Well, didn't East and West Germany? I mean,
perfect example.
Exactly. I mean, you know, so it's not like this is new, but I like your example of North and South Korea. Definitely brings it to the modern day for these millennials as to what's going on. And and you know, this whole idea that it's to help the poor. You know, the poor always find a way of being the poor, don't they? And the rich find a way of being the rich. It almost seems like those two extremes go under whatever government and whatever entity you come up with, right?
Yeah, you go into any city, any county, any place in the world, and you forcibly redistribute all the income so everyone has the same assets, the same income. If you give those people any kind of freedom, within a matter of weeks or months, you will find that there's unequal distribution of wealth.
Mm-hmm.
That some people will become rich through hard work, through luck, through their own talents and abilities and serving other people. They will become richer than other people.
Mm-hmm.
But in a free society, it really does lift all boats. 90% of Americans or more, you know, have air conditioning, have cell phones, have internet access, have washers, dryers, microwaves, all the modern appliances that only the rich had 100 years ago or even 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So wealth does filter down in a capitalist society. And even if there's an income gap, at least those at the bottom are much better off than they would otherwise be.
Well, you know, and I think more than anything else, more than wealth, the idea that there's human dignity, I mean, that is absolutely priceless. The fact that you can be free to dream, even have a shot at, you know, going after that dream, even if you don't get it. You have a shot at it. I mean, what other country can you go to and have a dream and have a shot at even being able to realize that dream?
Yeah, that's right. I happened to hear an interview yesterday with the special ops gentleman, Robert O'Neill, who supposedly shot Osama bin Laden.
Right.
And his new, you know, he talked about how he's from Montana, who didn't know how to swim, who just worked hard and dreamed and was able to get into the special ops. Navy SEAL and serve his country as he did.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many stories of kids like that who have worked hard, who've come up. In fact, many of the success stories in our society are people who were very disadvantaged, didn't have a lot growing up, and that's what drove them to be successful in life, through hard work and, yes, luck and skill and help along the way. But I think it is true. The American dream is alive. The people who really want to work hard to achieve it.
Yeah, we especially liked Rob O'Neill's story. We had a chance to talk to him as well. And, you know, it's amazing. Right. On paper, he should not have been a Navy SEAL, just like you say, just from the start of not being able to know how to swim and the training they have to go through. It is most amazing. Roger Ream is with us. The conversation continues.
If there's a toxic chemical, biological, gas smoke emergency while traveling at home or on your job, are you protected? Are you prepared? There are over 400,000 fires in the USA every year. Up to 85% of all deaths in a fire are due to smoke inhalation. 3 minutes without air and we as humans will die. Be prepared and escape safely with our Safe Escape smoke hoods, giving you up to 60 minutes of breathable air protection. Order yours online at ase-safety.com. That's ase-safety.com. And get up to 40% off, plus free shipping.
BuySellMakeOffer.com is better than ever. I'm Pat Matthews, here to tell you that BuySellMakeOffer.com, the revolutionary site for buying and selling anything and everything, just upped the ante. Go right now to BuySellMakeOffer.com and click the Sign Me Up button. When you do, you'll get the first month free, and then it's just $9.95 a month to be a member forever. And you don't need a credit card for the initial setup. Create your own store on the site and sell whatever you want, as long as it's legal, however you want, and sell an unlimited number of items. Create your own intro video to describe what your store is all about. Use Skype to see who you're buying from or selling to. Sell unused household items, as well as antiques, cars, televisions, collectibles, real estate. The possibilities are unlimited. Use social networks to promote your store right from our site. Remember, there are never any fees, no matter how much you sell. Become a member today. I'm a member. Get all your friends to sign up, too. This could become a great business for you. Sell whatever you want for the first 30 days free at BuySellMakeOffer.com.
Lifetime Grade's 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com, or find us on Facebook.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
Tyler, time to go for our family walk.
Just let me nap a little longer.
You promised we'd get more active.
I know. How come you're so ready to
go? Superberries Aronia Berries.
Aronia what?
Aronia Berries from superberries.com. They're known for having one of the highest levels of antioxidants that helps with overall wellness.
Where'd you get them?
I ordered them from superberries.com/radio, and right now we can get a free smoothie recipe book with our order. Plus, we can save $4 at checkout.
I can't wait to try them. I'll get the doll.
I'll get the kid.
Choose health. Eat purple. Superberries.com. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, just wait, like me, independent and fresh and free. Yes. Okay, let's hear the rest of this. I'm sorry.
You can't control who your mom and daddy is, but you can't control how hard you work. So it's fun. Reap an action. So an action, you reap a habit. You sow a habit, you reap a character. You sow a character, you reap a destiny. Every play starts with a cadence and ends with a whistle. What you do
love movie wisdom. I love it. I got to tell you, 20 minutes after the top of the hour, a conversation with Roger Rehm, president of TFAS, the Fund for American Studies, continues. The question is America free? Okay, is America still free? 40% of Americans believe the country has become less free in the past 10 years. I mean, that is a humongous slide in a short period of time. Think about it. 40% of Americans believe that in a decade there's been a noticeable degradation of their liberties, whether they be individual freedoms or civil and political rights. Roger, that's quite starking.
Yes, this is a survey we conducted to try to understand American attitudes toward freedom. Mm-hmm. So we undertook this survey, and we hope to do it once a year to try to get a benchmark as to whether support for freedom is eroding in this country or growing stronger. And this is our first year where we got that benchmark. But we did learn some interesting things, such as that 40% of Americans feel we are less free than we were 10 years ago. And about an equal number, another 40% said it hasn't changed much. Very few people thought we were moving toward freedom. At the same time, there was an index of economic freedom put out by the Wall Street Journal and the Heritage Foundation that showed America is slipping fairly dramatically in the among countries of the world in terms of our amount of economic freedom. Mm-hmm. So that is discouraging, too. We've gone from being one of the freest countries in the world to moving close toward past out of the top 10. And what you find is the freest economies in the world tend to be the richest per capita income, the healthiest. They tend to have the lowest infant mortality, the best life expectancy, all sorts of things that make us a much better country.
Well, who is surpassing America in freedom?
Well, number one on the list is Hong Kong, followed by countries like Singapore, even some of European countries have moved ahead of us. I don't have the list in front of me, but you're seeing a lot of movement forward by countries like Estonia and even Scandinavian countries that people think are socialist are becoming more and more economically free.
Mm-hmm. Is that what it is? More based on? Is that what it was based on? Was the perception of economic freedom?
No, they actually look at tax rates. We have one of the highest corporate tax rates in the world.
Mm-hmm.
They look at regulation. We have increasing amount of financial regulation, environmental regulation, lots of regulation in this country. They look at a whole range of criteria, including protection of property rights and rule of law in these surveys to try to gauge economic freedom. Trade policy, Hong Kong and Singapore score very highly because they are very much pro-free trade countries.
Right.
So it's a range of issues they look at.
Mm. Well, and that's something that we need to understand. Now, how is that going to translate to Main Street America?
That's a very good question. There are all sorts of issues related to what people's attitudes are. In our survey, we looked at issues that range from, just ask people a range of questions about, do you think people should be free? I'll put it this way. Here's a question, a sample question. We looked at an issue like, should someone be required to wear a helmet when they ride a motorcycle?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we might all agree that it's smart to wear a helmet. We might all agree that But the question, we should all agree also that if the government requires to wear a helmet, that restricts your freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe many Americans support restrictions on freedom of various kinds. We all do probably have our list of things we think government should do.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as we admit that these things restrict our freedom, maybe we can agree on those things.
Right.
So we looked at a range of issues, and it was economic, political, religious freedom. Should government allow ride-sharing companies like Uber and Lyft? We looked at licensing of people like florists, local licensing laws. We looked at restrictions on press freedom. We looked at the right of a company to build a factory overseas or to trade freely. So there was a range of issues on various areas, and we'll ask these each year to find out whether support for freedom is the same growing or being reduced.
What a great study, because, you know, when we think about freedom, you know, land of the free, home of the brave, you immediately say, well, there's no other country like America. But the fact of the matter is that that may be our perception of the America of yesteryear, not the America of today.
That's right. That's right. You know, our society is becoming more complex. But to me, that's an argument for reducing the amount of regulation in society. Mm-hmm. And you know, the main big issue that's remained very important to Americans and to our freedom, I think, is the role of the federal government versus the states and the local governments,
mm-hmm.
our system of federalism. And to the extent that we can delegate powers down to local levels, then where government's much closer to people, we can achieve a lot more freedom in our society. Mm. And unfortunately, we've seen a big shift in recent years of government to Washington, D.C., to the bureaucracy in particular, to agencies that aren't beholden to Congress or the executive branch, the administrative state.
Yes.
That is, just issues regulations that serves as the executive, legislative, and judicial branch. And I think that's one way that we've really diminished our freedom and damaged our constitutional system of government.
How has the movement away from personal responsibility contributed to this, Roger?
Well, you're right. Our founders realized that if you want to live in a free society, you have to live in a responsible society, that people have to take responsibility. I think it was Adams mm-hmm. who said that our system was made for a religious people and moral people, and mm-hmm. to the extent that we are not religious and moral in our behavior, it damages our amount of mm-hmm. our ability to maintain a free society. So I think character, integrity, and responsibility are interwoven very tightly with our freedom in our society.
Yeah, if we're not going to take responsibility, then we need Big Brother to come in and do it for us, right? We've exchanged one God for another, the big G God for a small G God. And that's what's really coming out here loud and clear, I say.
That's right. I strongly believe that we will lose our freedom unless we raise up generations of young people with character who behave morally and act responsibly, because rights and responsibilities go hand in hand. And government does step in and take on the role of God in a society where people don't abide by, you know, things like the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm. Well, this whole idea of the separation of church and state, which has been argued to death, and you get the people who go, oh, there's this, you know, it's in the Constitution. No, it's not. Come on, stop it. You know, it only demonstrates how ignorant you are by making that statement that it's in there. It's not. Let's not go there. And I've had too many conversations with people that start out that way. And I say, well, oh, you disappoint me. I was hoping we were going to have an in-depth conversation here. But that's the way you start off. You go, now let's start with the facts here, and then we can advance the cause here. But that's been part of the problem, is that people want to conveniently ignore the influence of Judeo-Christian principles into our Constitution. And if you take those out, you know, the songs of God Bless America and everything go out the door.
Yeah, yeah. So if anyone wants to learn more about what we do, our website is teachingfreedom.org.
Teachingfreedom.org. Very good. Well, excellent. Roger, thank you so much for being with us. Good stuff here. Roger, president of TAFAS, the Fund for American Studies. And keep us abreast. We'll look forward to next year's report, okay?
Thank you. I look forward to it, too.
Take care. All right. Bye.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
How did you become addicted? A friend? Were you at a party and someone said, hey, try this? Then you got the cold sweats and started shaking. And the more you did it, the more it didn't work. So you switched to the needle. Now you're a train wreck. Drinking, drugging, broke. Your family hates you. And you hate you. Get out of your hell on earth now. Call the Detox and Treatment Helpline today for immediate help. In many cases, your insurance may cover the costs. We can't guarantee it, but we can guarantee we have what you need to change your life for the better. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. 855-700-2979. That's 855-700-2979.
From Maine to Oregon and SoCal to Florida, Bill Martinez live.
God is on the move, hallelujah. God is on the move in many mighty ways. God is on the move, hallelujah. God
is on the move today. Bill
Martinez live.
We're back with you, America. Good to have you along with us. About 28 minutes before the top of the hour, and we're especially blessed because on the phone with us right now is Jennifer Rothschild. And she spells it with an S. It's a silent S, and I said, that's only because you're so super, so that's why we got that S in there. Right, Jennifer?
I told you, I'll take it, man.
Yeah, you got it. Well, Jennifer, despite going blind at the age of 15, has learned to live beyond limits through her faith. She's even gone bungee jumping. Oh, my goodness. We got to talk a little bit more about that one. She is a national speaker, Fresh Grounded Faith Events that she created. Jennifer, what a blessing to have you on the show, to have our audience hear your incredible story that you document in your book, Me, Myself, and Lies, What to Say When You Talk to Yourself.
Yeah, you know, we all talk to ourselves, Bill, and I learned the hard way that it really matters what you say to yourself, because, you know, stuff happens in life, and if you right. don't tell yourself the truth, then your words can become your worst enemy, much worse exactly. than the actual stuff you deal with. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Well, Zig Ziglar, our good friend who passed away many years ago, used to talk about stinking thinking. And
yeah.
that, you know, it starts out with the thoughts. You know, this is why we have the full armor of God. So you got that shield of faith that blocks out those fiery darts. Otherwise, we get harpooned with these thoughts that are antithetical of the thoughts that God has toward us.
Yeah.
And you grab that thought. It takes root. It becomes words that becomes an action. Becomes a habit that forms our character, and before you know it, we're on a destiny path that God never intended us to be on.
Exactly. It's like we've all got what I call a thought closet in our minds, and it's
yes.
that place where we store away everything we've ever said to ourselves. And, you know, sometimes some of the things that get in there are because someone else who we loved and therefore we were vulnerable to them, or maybe someone in authority said things to us that were unkind or untrue, and we just took them in and put them in our thought closet, and then you wardrobe your life with what's in your thought closet.
Exactly.
You know, so if you're wardrobed in defeat today, chances are it's because you stored a lot of junk in your thought closet, like, I can't do anything right, I'm never good enough. And you're right, we need to do an inventory in our thought closet, clean out all those lies, and fill it with God's truth.
Well, and some of the thoughts that are in that closet may even precede you, and may be generational thoughts as well, don't you think?
I do, and that's why in the book, Me, Myself, and Lies, I help us go through these three stages. They're super simple. They all begin with the letter R, because I need to keep things simple. And the first R simply is recognize. Recognize. You know, sometimes we don't know what we're saying to ourselves because it's normal to us. Mm. And I remember one time a friend saying to me, man, you shouldn't say that. I said, you don't even notice because it's normal to me. And she said, yeah, normal like cancer.
Wow.
So we got to start paying attention to what we say.
Mm-hmm. So the first R is recognize. The second R?
The second R is refuse. So once you recognize that you're not speaking truth to yourself, then you got to refuse it. So, you know, for me, Bill, I was a name caller. Jennifer, you're such an idiot. Well, of course, that's not true.
Right.
So when I would catch myself doing it, it was like I would see myself hold that in my fist, that lie, and I would refuse it. It could knock at the door of my thought closet all day, but I refused to let it in. And sometimes we've got to apply that discipline just to hold our thoughts, make them captive, make them obey the truth, and then that's going to lead you to the third R, which is replace.
Replace
it with the truth.
Exactly.
And then you can put that beautiful truth in your thought closet.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you talk about, oh, Jennifer, you're an idiot, then we all get caught up in those things, and you wonder where that comes from. Because it comes off so naturally until you have some awareness and or some really dear friend that says to you, no, you're not, and causes you to take pause to evaluate, as you say, you know, first of all, you're going to recognize what is the power? Because words have meaning and they have power in our lives. You know, James says, you know, we got the power of the tongue. We can speak life or speak death. And sometimes it just seems so, you know, maybe so contemporary to, you know, talk down to yourself. But that's really ungodly, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, in the book, I don't use the words positive or negative self-talk. Because here's the thing. We need to speak constructive versus destructive soul talk.
Yes.
We're talking directly to our souls, just like the psalmist did when he would say, why are you in despair, O my soul? Hope in God. Or, bless the Lord, O my soul. He's talking to himself. And that's what we need to do. And so we use constructive words. And, you know, sometimes constructive words don't feel positive. You know, like, I remember one time losing my temper with my husband. Well, it hasn't happened just once. It's happened more than once. But I remember one particular time when I had to sit myself down and say, Jennifer, you have an anger issue. You got to figure this out. You got to get this junk out of your heart so you stop reacting angrily. Well, that may feel negative, right? But that's very constructive. That's what I mean by speaking truth to our soul. But we always do it like Jesus would. Full of grace and full of truth.
And the thing is, when you consider the pathways here, it's either life or death.
Yes.
And are you speaking life or are you speaking death? And you can always tell because life, words of life, even though they are constructive and can be hurtful, will lead to more life as opposed to death, which, you know, only goes to death, right?
Exactly. Yeah, life will always grow. When something stops growing, it's no longer alive. I mean, that's the that's how we exist, is there's growth and there's change that represents life. But when we speak words of death to us, which are words that always end with a period, you are so dumb, period, as if that's the final statement, then that might as well be etched on our tombstone. That's why we need to speak words of truth that are constructive, and they're always based on the truth. In fact, Bill, I call them water words, you know? Some of us, we throw gasoline in our thought closet, those negative, destructive words, and that ignites the fire within us. It might be the fire of anger or the fire of despair or whatever it is, and we have a meltdown. But when we put water words, words of truth, words of grace into our thought closets, then that brings life. It nurtures our soul. It helps us to grow. And then the life that we're living, we're able to give to others and splash that refreshing water on them too.
Exactly. Well, we need to recognize, refuse, replace, and recognizing it is a bit of confession, a confession to God, a confession to self, that the words of death that I've been speaking into my life are not godly. It doesn't match up with the identity that God has given us, does it?
Yeah. You can look at Philippians 4:8. That's a great way to begin to recognize, which says, you know, is it good? Is it lovely? Is it of a good report? And if it's not, then it's not true.
Yeah, if it's not, you refuse it, right? Put up that shield of faith, refuse that that contraindication, those contra words that are not consistent with He who created you and who you belong to.
Yeah, and God gives you wisdom, too, to recognize. As we humbly say, you know, Lord, I got this bad habit of talking to myself in an ugly way, self-slander, beat myself up. It's a habit, and habits are difficult to change, but not with the grace of the Lord and His strength and His wisdom. And I believe God will set wisdom as a watchman at the door of your thought closet, and He'll help you know what you're allowed to let in there and what you need to pull out of that thought closet.
Well, we're talking about the power of your thoughts and her brand new book, Me, Myself, and Lies, What to Say When You Talk to Yourself. And I think you're starting to catch it now, just how important it is and maybe how casual we've been about speaking life or death into our lives. And it just seems so contemporary and so casual to speak death, but yet it's very dangerous and destructive. And it certainly is counterproductive because, you know, Jennifer, you know, the very same people that speak death in their lives will say, hey, where's God? You know, where's the benefit of Christianity? You know, I promised myself to follow Christ, and yet I'm kind of taking a very casual approach, almost like Caleb, and thinking we can redefine, you know, God's plan, right?
Yeah, well, it's important that our words always agree with God's word. When our words stop agreeing with God's word, we never live the confidence, the freedom, the blessing that God intended for us. But when we begin to line up our words that we speak to ourselves and then we speak to others with God's word, then we're living out that truth that the Lord says, when we know it, it sets us free. And that's what we're all looking for, Bill, is to live that kind of freedom.
I'm right with you. Jennifer Rothschild is with us. We've got more from her on the other side of the break. Stay with us, America. I'm Bill Martinez. More from Jennifer after.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Hey there. Did you know that with a bachelor's degree, on average, you could make almost twice as much over a lifetime than a person with just a high school diploma? It's true. According to the 2012 U.S. Census Bureau, college grads with a bachelor's degree make almost twice as much as high school grads. Now, going back to school is easier than ever at Independence University. Log on and complete coursework from the park, or the beach, or even your couch watching the kids. And Independence University gives you the tools, a free tablet and laptop for undergrad students to use and keep when they graduate. That's right, get a laptop so you can go to college from anywhere. Take the first step to a new career in business, information technology, healthcare, or graphic arts. Call to find the online degree program that's right for you, and you could be on your way to increasing your earning potential.
800-981-9347. 800-981-9347. That's 800-981-9347.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
To you. Bill Martinez, live.
You gave your love, you gave your life. You gave your everything, and I want to give it all back to you.
Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Welcome back, America. Good to have you along with us. Our conversation with Jennifer Rothschild continues, author of the book, Me, Myself, and Lies, What to Say When You Talk to Yourself. As a child, Jennifer dreamed of being an artist, but at age 15, lost her eyesight. What was that like for you, Jennifer?
Well, you know, it was not something I expected, I can tell you that. I could see perfectly well, and within just a series of months, my eyesight began to worsen, but so subtly that I didn't kind of recognize it at first. You know, I just thought it was clumsy because I would trip down the stairs and my grades began to fall. But once I began to walk upstairs with my mom one evening and I was tripping up the stairs, she paused and she said, "Jennifer, can you not see the stairs?" And I was just as surprised. You know, I said, "What do you mean, Mom? You can?" I truly just thought I was the clumsiest person that ever lived. Well, that's about all it took. My mother had me to the eye doctor the next day, and we lived in Miami, Florida at the time.
Right.
And so within a week, I was at the Bascom Palmer Eye Institute, and that's where they diagnosed I had this disease called retinitis pigmentosa. So I was declared legally blind, but the prognosis of the disease was that eventually my retinas would totally deteriorate, and I'd be totally blind. So here I am now in my early 50s, and I'm looking back at my life, and I have lived it in physical darkness longer than I ever lived in physical light. And I got to tell you, what I experienced when I was 15 is what I experienced at age 50, and it's this. Blindness is really hard. It is the hardest thing I deal with every single day. I close my eyes. There's no escape from it because it's dark during the day, too. But I'll tell you this, I really have seen that God is good, even when life is hard, and that I really can trust Him more than my feelings. And I've learned that, you know, it may never be well with my situation, but God really has made it well with my soul. And, and I'm just so grateful. I know I can be blind with God, but I know for sure there is absolutely no way I could ever do this without Him.
That's what I was going to ask you, is that you imagine those that are blind without God, and what that must be for them.
Where's your hope?
Yeah,
you know, I've had some folks ask me, "Well, weren't you angry at God?" And, you know, I get super frustrated with blindness because it's hard. But I never got angry toward God, and I think the reason is, well, first of all, it's His grace. It's His grace that equipped me to not be angry. But I also think there is this little bit of pragmatism at the bottom of this. Because here's the deal. I need him so much that if I chose to be angry toward him, then I'm just building this wall that separates me from my absolute only and best resource for hope and peace and optimism and perspective. But when I just choose to say, okay, God, I'm going to embrace what you have allowed. I can't change it, but I'm going to assume you've let it happen so that you can change me. Then that the blindness becomes this bridge. When I just lay it down and stop, you know, trying to change things, when I lay it down, it really does become this bridge that connects me to God. And I cannot imagine blind or fully sighted doing life without that kind of relationship and the strength of the Lord.
Are you amazed that you're able to see things that people who do have sight cannot see?
Well, I'll tell you this. Sometimes I've said to my friends, I'm so sorry that you can see. Because, now listen, in a moment, if there was a chance for me to see, I would want it. Of course I would. But I mean that in the truest sense. I think sometimes sight can be a distraction that disallows us to see what really matters. Mm-hmm. I think it can be when we're really looking at people, we may not see them for who they are. I have this friend who's got a public ministry, and she has fought her weight. It was, you know, goes up and down for years, and of course people comment on it. And I remember seeing her a couple years ago, and when she approached me, said, oh, Jennifer, when I saw we were going to be together, I was so glad because I feel safe with you because you can't see me and you're not judging me.
Oh,
And I thought, I'd take no credit for that. I mean, who knows, if I could see, I would probably be just as tempted to judge. My point is, that we would all be blind, right? To
exactly.
See people for who they really are, for the beauty in them. It would allow us to love each other, I think, with more empathy and truth.
Well, without a doubt. I mean, this is what happens when we get in the way of God's standard as opposed to our own personal standards. And for those that have had eyes to see and ears to hear, they understand where I'm coming from here. I would think that just between you and me, it probably freaks your husband out because you probably know things about him that he wants to go, could you be a little bit more blind, you know?
You talk about my husband, it's my children. I think for the first many years of their life, they didn't really not know what to expect. Can she see? Can she really not see? Because I could catch him at everything. And the best part was, if anybody in my family couldn't find something, I could always locate it. And I think it was because I was just a little more tuned in. So I remember one time my little boy said, I was starting to cross the street more quickly than my husband and son, and a car was coming. And so my husband reacts, Jennifer, stop, you know, and so I slow down. And my little boy says, Mom, you almost got hit by the car, which I didn't, but of course, And I said, I'm sorry, I should have been more careful, you know. And I'm thinking, how good, he's so empathetic. And he said, yeah, because if you died, Daddy and I could not find anything ever.
A reason to be, just to be the one to find that missing sock somewhere that gets lost, right? Oh, my goodness. Our purpose defined by a young child. What is it like for you, a day in the life of?
Well, it's like a day in the life of everybody else. I just have to do things maybe a little bit slower and a little bit more creatively.
Right.
You know, because I'm a writer, I have software on my computer that talks to me. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I write my own books, but I can hear everything I'm typing. Now, it has a digital voice that talks like this, and a lot of people can't understand a word it's saying, but I'm pretty tuned in. My iPhone, I have a lot of apps that I use on my iPhone. You know, one that'll help me know what bills I have to read money, one that helps me with colors. I have an assistant who will drive me places when I need, but otherwise I tend to be rather self-sufficient just because I've been so blessed to have technology that helps me and friends and family that are so gracious to help me.
And you're even musical.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Play the piano, you know.
Well, that's good.
I love it. I play by ear. So, I enjoy it.
Well, good fun. And so, Jennifer, what do you want people to take away primarily from your book?
From Me, Myself, and Lies, what I really want people to recognize is that what they say to themselves matters because they matter. Yeah. And if I could sum it up into just a couple of phrases, I would choose Psalm 19, verse 14, and it's the prayer of David where he asked God, he said, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, for you are my Lord, my strength, and my Redeemer.
Boy, that's that part where, it causes you to, first of all, as you say, those three R's, recognize, you refuse, and you replace. You're replacing it with God's standard of identification, not the culture, not your generational curses that may have tagged along with you that impact your personal story. But it's the story yet to be realized that God has given you, right?
He's given us a beautiful story, and sometimes I think we grab the pen out of his hand and we try to write it in the way we think it should be. And we really begin to live the life he intended for us when we give him the pen and watch what he does. And as we see him at work, as we read his word and listen to his word, then our life begins to agree with what he's doing in our life. Our words begin to agree with his word. And then suddenly we don't feel like we're a participant in our story. We feel like we're the spectator, watching God do something in us that's better than we could have ever imagined.
Yeah, and when you talk about that, Jennifer, when our thoughts, our words align with God's, I mean, there is something just incredibly precious and powerful about that, isn't there?
Well, the thing is that your words and my words, they have no inherent life in them.
Mm-hmm.
But every word that God spoke is living and active, and life brings life. So as we begin to really know his word and speak his word, then our life begins to change because it brings those dead things back to life. He's our redeemer.
Yes.
That means every old lie we've ever believed, he can redeem. That means every old habit that we've ever had, he can redeem. But we don't do that within our own power. We do that based on Philippians 4:13. We do all those things through Christ's strength.
Exactly. Well, it's as the word says, the word goes out, that living word goes out to find its mate. And when it finds that mate in your very heart, incredible, dunamis, powerful things begin to happen in your life. And Jennifer Rothschild is a walking example of God's dunamis power. Jennifer, if people would like for you to speak, I know you have a speaking ministry where you go out and speak to groups, fresh grounded faith events. How can they be in touch with you?
Well, you can find anything you need to know, and probably more than you want to know, on JenniferRothschild.com. And there's also a book page, by the way, that has extra resources for Me, Myself, and Lies. It's called Me, Myself, and Lies.us. You can even buy a version of Me, Myself, and Lies for teenage girls.
Wow.
So we can help get the truth in them early. So JenniferRothschild.com and Me, Myself, and Lies.us.
There it is. And we're going to link the book at our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Jennifer Rothschild has been with us. Jennifer, you are an absolute blessing. Thank you so much for being with us.
No, thanks, Bill.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
Hunters.